Ask the Podcast Coach for November 15th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, there it is. You just can't help but get up and shake your butt. It's Saturday morning. It's Ask the Podcast Coach, which you can find over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live, where we answer your podcasting questions. I am Dave Jackson from the theschoolofpodcasting.com, and joining my right over there from the lovely metropolis of Omaha, the one, the only, Jim Cullison. How are you this morning, Mr. Cullison?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning. I have a little bit of a Barry White thing going on this morning.
Yeah, so it's cool.
It's kind of the smooth jazz.
And, of course, you can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv. And I guess we could talk about snow for 2 minutes.
Seems to be snowing around the country, doesn't it?
Yeah, the chat room has been saying they got snow. I got snow. We got 3 to 6 inches here in Cleveland, which is kind of usually Cleveland, we kind of inch into winter. It's like, here's a little sprinkle, and it was just like, bam, and highways got shut down yesterday, all sorts of fun stuff.
The U.S. went from, like, late summer to winter just, like, in a weekend, just overnight. We heard this Arctic front coming down. But I know we have plenty of Australian and or Australian listeners, and I'm sure it's not snowing there. So happy sunny days to you.
Exactly.
In Australia and New Zealand.
So, well, hey, let's kick off the day. We always talk about how you can get your podcast questions answered. And we actually had somebody who listens to the show, and I'm not sure if they can't get up or they're not around this time, but he has a question about Amazon. So let's go ahead and start off with that.
Hi, Dave. This is Orlando Mergal from Puerto Rico. I produce a podcast in Spanish called Hablando de Tecnología. It's at hablandodetecnología.com. That is spelled HABLANDODETECNOLOGIA.com. And I've been listening to your programs for some while, all of them. In fact, I listen to Ask the Podcast Coach. I listen to this one, School of Podcasting. I also listen to the weekly web tools. And one of the things I like the most about your shows is that you're a guy with his feet on the ground. You're not full of yourself like some of the people that I've listened to. But I do know that you got in trouble with the people over at Amazon once, had to do something with cloaking their URLs. And I wanted to ask you a question about that because I want to be sure before I mess up. You know that when you produce a podcast, one of the things that happens is that people listen to you, but they rarely visit your website because they find you on iTunes, they find you on Stitcher, on TuneIn, whatever it is, but they rarely visit your website. And you can see that if you compare, for example, your statistics from Libsyn to your statistics from Google. You're going to see that In the Google statistics, many times your site is going to look like a ghost town. But when you go to the Libsyn statistics, then you have a large audience. That, at least that's what happens to me. My podcast is in Spanish. It's geared towards the Latino community. But I suspect that a podcast in English will have more or less the same thing's going to happen. Most of the people are going to listen to you. Very few are going to visit your site. Now, here's my question. I, like you, am an Amazon affiliate, and I have a plugin that you recommended called Easy Azon that I use quite a lot, and I also use something called Pretty Links. And you know that when you go to Amazon, for example, if you get an affiliate link, usually it's a long and ugly URL that you would never read on the air or on your podcast. It would make no sense. People would never catch it. So I was thinking about using Pretty Links. For example, let's say, for example, that I was going to sell you a radio. Well, instead of using that long and convoluted URL, I would put it into Pretty Links and convert it something like hablandotecnología.com/radio. But I suspect that that is precisely the reason why you got in trouble. So I want to make sure before I do it, because I don't want to screw up with the people at Amazon, if using Pretty Links to convert their ugly URLs into something pretty is okay. Thank you very much for everything you do for the podcasting community, for all your smart advice, and just keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much, Orlando. A couple things. Number one, yeah, I had somebody contact me that said they thought there was a problem with the download stats because they were so completely different than their web stats. And I'm like, no, you got to realize a lot of people are finding you in iTunes or they're Googling you or whatever, but you can have a bazillion people listen to your podcast and never visit your website. That's kind of one of the bad news about it. What I did originally that got me in trouble was, yeah, I was using PrettyLinks. That was not the problem, although we'll talk about this as we go forward. I used – there's a link in Pretty – there's a checkbox in PrettyLink. When you make a link, you can put it in what's called an iframe. Now, without getting super geeky, how do you explain an iframe? It basically puts a web page inside a web page kind of a way. But anyway, it like you said, you use the word cloaks. And in a nutshell, we can just put it this way. Amazon really, 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 really hates iframes. It's really bad in their world. And I made one wrong click. Didn't even do it on purpose. It was on accident. And that's what they went, oh, you're out. That's an iframe is a really offensive thing to them. And so, yeah, is it okay to send a link? I tend to, at this point, what I do is I follow Jay Moore is a comedian, very popular podcaster. Greg Fitzsimmons is another one. And what I notice they do, and when you do this, you absolutely have no gray area. They say, go to my website and click on the Amazon link. Now, when you go to their website, like Jay Moore is J-A-Y-M-O-H-R, you'll see he's got a giant Amazon link. And he said, go there. And when you click on it, it helps support my kid's college, I think, fund or whatever it is. Greg Fitzsimmons does the same thing. They explain that it's an affiliate link. We just want you to go to Amazon through our website. And I think that's probably the safest way to go because when you start using PrettyLinks, you know, I know, Jim, you went through and read.
Yeah, I read the terms of service on both sites that they have for those and spent a lot of time in there trying to understand it. The cloaking is what they don't want. They don't want anyone to be surprised that they purchased or that they're being sent to Amazon by surprise. They don't want that. This gets rid of all the spamming and all the mischief and all the good nothingness and all those things that don't, you know, that podcasters try to do to trick people. So they make it very clear in their terms of services, you need to make sure that people know that they're clicking on an Amazon link when they do this. And so this is why the gear page or whatever page you want to do is a great idea, because you can then put the raw link out there in the description or whatever. And that's really your best practice to do that. If you do, like for me, if I did the averageguy.tv/ATR2100 and it went directly to the Amazon link, in theory, as it's written and I understand it, that's a violation of their terms and services. So you need to be careful about the way you do it. And again, I just send that ATR2100 link back to your website on a page. That page has the Amazon link on it. You want them coming to the page anyways. So I think that's the best practice.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I know I've seen people do that. They'll take a link, they'll make a landing page, and maybe in some cases even have a YouTube video that'll say, here's why I like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because I'll have to double check. I think schoolofpodcasting.com/2100 might actually be going directly to Amazon right now. And that is a no-no.
Well, so Addie's saying, so doing your name slash Amazon is a big no-no. That's not true. That's actually recommended by them. They want you to recognize the Amazon name. You just can't use the Amazon name in the domain space. So you can't do amazon.yourname.com. That's a no-no. That's the domain. Subdomain is okay from that standpoint if you click it that way, because you're being very obvious about them. You're being very obvious about this being an Amazon link at that point, right? But it's not in the domain. It's so confusing. Trust me, I read through all that stuff. You know, and depending on who you talk to, you get different advice. If you're not comfortable doing that, don't do it that way.
Yeah.
You know, don't do it that way. But a lot of us do that, right? Our domain slash Amazon, according to their terms and services and what I've read, that's how they encourage you to do it. So Addie, not to say you're wrong, but I think you're wrong.
And if you want to call in and disagree with Jim, the number is, of course, 845-262-2401. Again, it's 845-262-2401. And if you're bored in the chat room, feel free to send out a tweet that we're live at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. But I wish they would just – I've actually reached out to them in the past and said, can I have somebody come on the show and just answer these questions in English? And they kind of went, yeah, I don't think so. Because that is one of the ones that's weird. It's like, okay, slash Amazon is in the domain. Now, I know a lot of people are doing amazon.mydomain.com. They made it a subdomain that then redirected. And the bad news is if you went to that one and then later went to go to amazon.com, it would see your history and go to theirs. That I could see where they would be like, oh, okay. So,
yeah.
But
yeah. I don't think they want to come on because I think they don't know themselves sometimes.
It gets
kind of... You have to have a lawyer. You have to have a lawyer come on. And even then, you know, terms and services are purposely written vague sometimes, right? They're left open to interpretation. I mean, if IRS law is vague in a lot of cases, and it's left purposely open for interpretation. So, you know, I think best practice has been this, your domain slash Amazon. All of us do it, and nobody's gotten the call. So I think we're okay at this point. We've all been doing it for a while. I just know for sure that if you do amazon.yourdomain.com, I know that's a no-no. So just to clarify that.
Yeah. I saw where Fred had asked, what's the update on Numedia Expo speakers? Eek. It's as much as I thought that was my decision, there's a little bit of a committee going on behind the scenes. Probably December. We hope to have some announcements maybe by Monday. But it's getting a little weird. Yeah. So, and that's all I can say. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say and how much I'm not. So I'm not going to say a whole
lot.
Don't
say a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say a lot. Just keep yourself out of hot water. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, is that how? Okay. So yeah.
What's Dave was Cliff is transparent. Cliff did this before you, right?
No, Cliff was not transparent.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Cause I was wondering, you've been amazingly transparent about all this. I mean, you've talked about it. You've talked about it openly. You've come on shows and talked about it. You've,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty amazing that you're being as open as you are, because I don't think that in most cases along these lines, it just happens this way. So that's a blessing and a cursing. It's a cursing for you and a blessing for us. But you know, it's you've been very open about the process. So
yeah,
either kudos or I'm sorry, one of the two.
Yeah, because I kind of like it so far. It's I've got to meet some really cool people, and I'd kind of like to do this again next year. At least at this point, he says. At this point in the stage, but yeah, I don't want to bite my hand that's feeding me at this point. Yeah, so
right.
We got a caller ending in 0418. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Jim and Dave, it's Bill Delaney.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm checking in to the show. I find it great value. My question is, I started my podcast last week, and the sound, you gave me advice on that, but it sounded low. I wanted to know how to get it a little cleaner and a little louder.
Okay, a couple quick things. Number one, get close to the mic. The further you are from your mic, like I can, where's my micro? Like I can go way back here. You can't see me, but I mean, I can turn up my microphone, but now there's a bunch of room noise and it just doesn't sound as good if I'm right up next to it. Of course, I have a pop filter. That's key. Got to have a pop filter. And then from there, I always turn up my, now I record into a portable mixer, a portable recorder, not needed if you're just starting out, but I recommend it. And I turn it up pretty loud, so it's listening pretty intently. And that way I don't have to turn my mixer up so loud, because the more you turn up your mixer, the more chances are you're going to introduce hiss into the whole process. And then it's just a matter of some things. I usually try to get fairly... you know, at least a few green dots blinking on my mixer. That's a good sign that you've got a nice quality sound to it. And, I usually start off with everything at 12 o'clock, but usually as I look right now, my microphone is at about at 11 o'clock. My main mix is at 12 o'clock. I've got my gain about 1 o'clock, you know, but that's me. That's my voice. I kind of talk loud. I'm fairly spastic when I'm on a microphone, so that helps. But and then from there, you sweeten the pot. You might want to throw in a little bass. It really depends on your microphone and on your voice. You might have a very clear voice, things like that. But then when you're first starting out, I always say plug a set of microphones into, if you're using a recorder, plug it into the recorder, plug it into the computer, whatever you're recording into, and, you know, use your ears, not your eyes. Now, granted, you definitely want to have your volume for your recording should be somewhere around minus 6 to minus 12. It sounds weird, but in recording, you go up to zero. And, you know, you want to do that. Make sure you get that, because the lower that volume is, the more room you have for hiss. And just kind of tweak the knobs until it sounds good in your headphones. What did you find? Like, what was your, what do you think your problem was at this point? Mr. Bill?
Billy's still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah.
It's quite confusing to be listening on the phone and watching you, and I don't know how long the delay is.
It's very long.
In between the
it's
phone.
A while, yeah. You might want to turn off the stuff and just listen here on the call.
Okay, I'm listening now to you guys, so I'm not listening on the call.
Perfect.
thanks. Yeah, it's all new to me, but I've determined to be... I've picked one guy to learn from, and that's you. And of course, now, Jim, I've gone to his site, and I'm starting to dig around in there.
Yeah.
And what probably, I'm...
Bill, probably not as helpful from a podcasting standpoint, but let me ask you, what's your audio workflow? How do you have that set up right now? How are you recording it? What's it going into? Those kinds of things.
I'm using the ART2100 USB XL R.
Okay. And are you recording to the PC, or are you recording to a...
No, I'm recording through XNX802 Behringer into a Roland R09.
Okay.
Recorder.
And so your current audio, the current audio that you're getting, what's the quality of it, and what don't you like about it?
Well, when I played back, Dave helped me. I'm having a problem. Here's the non-techiest guy you want to come on your show. A little green lights... In the main section, I can barely get the minus 20 one to come on, and the other green one that's zero, I had trouble getting that. On the level, when I set everything at 12 and the gain, my last settings from Dave was go to 2 to 3 o'clock on the gain, go to 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock on the level, and 2 o'clock on the main. And that worked, and I did a little Mary Had a Little Lamb, and then put it on my computer and listened to it, and it seemed okay. But by the time I had uploaded it, worked it through Hindenburg Journalist, then put it up to Libsyn, and then finally got it online, it felt like I had to turn it up too much. And I noticed this morning when I was listening to the School of Podcasting that on my iPad I had my volume dead center in the middle, and it was really good. I would like to get something close to that. And I seem to be that my voice tends to be a little quieter when I'm on my own here trying to get through this, and maybe that's just because I'm just getting started. And maybe the more inflection and different tone will show up whenever I'm not trying to be, whenever I lose the actual consciousness of doing it and just am doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I always tell people, go to Obnoxious DJ and back it off a little. So if you're, you know, instead of talking like this, you know, and then just go, okay, let's back it down just a little bit. And, you know, right there, because if you talk to me, well, you've talked to me normal. Billy's part of the Cleveland Podcasters meetup. So when I talk, I just kind of, you know, I talk like this. This is probably normal. And that's fine. But I wouldn't want to listen to this for an hour where I'm talking like, you know, I'm not quite NPR, but, you know. So I always try to add a little more inflection without making it sound like I'm singing. I always love the podcast where somebody has just got really into voice inflection, and wow, they're really like, okay, that's a little too much. But
okay,
you know, and
Bill, let me give you a little advice. I think in that as we do this, practice, practice, practice. So get in there, record, read some stuff, grab some stuff to just read, because it's kind of weird coming up to the mic and just talking into it, right? That's kind of odd. You're like, check, check, one, two, right? That kind of stuff. Just pick some material, read a book, do something, record some 4 or 5 minute segments or some 2 minute segments that you can then play back make some adjustments to your equipment, then do it again. And just keep working on that until you get it exactly the way you want it. And so one of those things we've been, this is way too technical for you, but one of those things we've been working on in a community is getting this correct level, you know, this volume matching concept where we're all at the same volume when we come out. That's what you were alluding to when you, when you're on your iPad and it's halfway up and it just sounds good. That's kind of what we're all trying to achieve. There are some things that you can do as you move on to get there. I think the key for you though right now is merely just getting comfortable with your equipment, with your microphone, the distance you are from it, and the sound that you want. And it may take 4, 5, 6 hours of tuning your equipment to get it done. But it, it just takes that time. You just got to get to know your equipment really well and figure out what sounds right and how to do that. So let me encourage you, get some practice in. It's okay. Keep messing with it. Keep messing with the levels. Get it the way you like it and the way you're comfortable with it. That the only way you're going to do it is experience. And I wouldn't experience that while I'm trying to podcast. I would do that on a separate, you know, get that stuff worked out in between. And you'll see your quality get drastically better as you do more and more podcasts.
And the other thing to keep in mind, you don't have to release everything you record. We didn't go into, this show didn't go into iTunes till, you know, months after we'd been doing it. So, you know, yeah, just, and we talked before, you know, the gain button on your mixer, I always say, if we use the analogy of a garden hose, the gain button is kind of like how hard you have the water turned on at the actual, you know, knob. And then your volume knob for the channel is your actual, when you squeeze the handle on the hose. So obviously if the gain is turned way down, you can open up your volume knob as loud as you can. It barely does anything because the water's barely turned on. But if you get that gain turned way up, wow, now you barely touch the volume knob and it just, you know, the levels go through the roof. And that's the one that I always end up tweaking, because the gain knob to me always kind of seems like it's putting up your hand behind your ear. Like it really intensifies the listening. And I've seen where if you really get crazy with that, you can, you end up picking up a lot of mouth noise or things. It's just kind of weird. And, you know, it's one of those things that you can kind of just, it is going to take some tweaking. So, but yeah.
Does that help, Bill?
Well, thanks.
What's your, yeah, so what's your website, Bill?
I found, pardon?
What's your website so people can go check it out?
Oh, okay. My website is mymarketingcompass.com. And I appreciate the advice. I will be here every week, and I may well be somebody asking a question every week, too. Because,
that's all right.
This thing is really, it's been a while coming for me. And Dave is obviously the life jacket and the lifeboat for me.
There you go.
And I appreciate what you both have told me today, and I'll be working on that.
There you go.
Very good. Thanks for calling in, Bill.
Thank you very much for letting me get on the line.
Thank you. Take care.
Couple suggestions as Bill drops off.
Yeah.
Some of the guys said to go ahead and take a picture of your, once you get your soundboard set the way you like it, get a picture of that thing so that you don't, in case the kids come by, maybe that's not the case for everybody, but it, or it gets changed or you got to move it or whatever, yeah, you can go right back and get to those settings.
That's it. Well, from Bill to ending in 6155, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question? I'm making sure.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Nick Suberling.
The one, the only. You got to love him. Hey, the Browns, I want to thank the, we're going to do a little sports thing because that's what Nick does. I want to thank the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals for giving the game to the Cleveland Browns last week. It was really nice of him.
You're welcome. We felt bad for you, Browns fans.
That's it.
It's been a while.
What's going on, my man?
Hey, I just wanted to call and give you an update on my question about Blueberry that I sent you earlier in the week regarding the embed code,
yeah,
from your previous episode of School of Podcasting.
Well, let's fill everybody in on that question. Nick uses two redirects. He has one redirect for PodTrack and one redirect for Blueberry. So when you click on play on Nick's site, it goes over to PodTrack and goes, yep, it's a download. It goes over to Blueberry and goes, yep, it's a download. And then it actually goes to the file. And so I was talking last week about how Jason Bryant had put, you can put a checkmark in the PowerPress plugin and people can grab your It's called an embed code, just like you do with YouTube videos. And Jason does a podcast for college wrestling. And so one of the colleges went over, grabbed the embed code, put it on the university's website, and he went from, like, I think it was 4-figure downloads to 5-figure. I mean, they went through the roof. So Nick was saying, hey, I don't think this works if you're doing a double redirect. So what have you found, my friend?
Well, the question I had is, in the embed code itself, like, normally there's a spot for the source where, and on your example, on your website, Dave, in the source, it actually has your links, your Libsyn address for where your file is located. Mm-hmm. And when I'm on Blueberry, and I also self-host, I self-host my own MP3 files. But I didn't see that code in my embed code. So I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I was just concerned. I thought Blueberry would have their bases covered, and sure enough, they did. I got a response this week from Todd Cochran. Basically, I provided him with my embed code, and he said, yep, we've taken care of all that. We certainly want people using the redirects that we've provided as well. So they definitely wouldn't have missed out on that opportunity. But they did confirm that it does trigger the redirect. So I was quite pleased because, like Jason, I actually post my show on a number of different websites that are not WordPress. And I've been looking tirelessly for a good player to use that people could just easily click play. And sure enough, that option now with the embed code is fantastic and is really helpful. And I'm going to be utilizing it a lot more in the future.
Yeah, that's the only thing, because I started using the Smart Podcast Player, which has the whole buttons to subscribe and it adds an email thing. It doesn't use the embed code. And I went, ooh, I need to talk to the developer and go, any chance we can get an embed code? But the problem is, how do you get it to embed just the player and not the subscribe buttons? And because you don't want people putting your email sign up on another page. So that was one that I went, that's a little sticky option there. So, but yeah, you can see Jason's show at matttalkonline.com. So awesome. And Nick, where can people find you?
You can check out Inside the Jungle at cincyjungle.com or spnt.tv. It's been a while since I called in. Figured I'd log in and see what you guys were up to. You guys do a fantastic show, and I'm looking forward to seeing you hopefully at New Media Expo this spring, Dave.
Yeah, it'll be great, man. It's awesome. We can go get some more. What was the name of that taco place?
Chronic Taco.
Chronic Taco. You got to get me some Chronic Taco when I'm there. That was awesome.
Well, I'll let you guys move on with the show. Appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Thanks, Nick.
Good to hear from you.
See you, Jim. See you, Dave.
See you. Okay. It's always good to get a dose of Nick Zuberling.
It is good to have Nick on the show, for sure.
Good guy. Well, hey, let's talk a little Mixler and Spreaker. I know you've been playing back and forth with the Gallup thing, and you said you had some new news with that.
Been listening for any length of time, you know, we've been messing around. I've been trying to figure out between Spreaker and Mixler, which is the best one to use live. We've kind of been messing with it here, too. Dave, now if you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live, you'll see the Spreaker players down there. We figured out a way to get that player on there. It automatically goes live when Dave clicks the live button on Spreaker. It becomes a live, you know, feed at that point, and you can refresh the screen. The one thing I like about Mixler, though, is, well, I guess you have to do that with Mixler as well. So maybe those are the same way. But what we found, we went completely onto Mixler, and I stopped doing live completely on Spreaker. So just Mixler. And then we were uploading our audio file to Spreaker at that point after the fact. And my Spreaker numbers plummeted at that point. It was crazy. Like, all of a sudden, that live piece that we were doing, having the two audio files out there, you know, because we would go live and I would put the live file out there. And then as soon as we had the edited file, I'd remove the live file and put the audio one in. And there's two ways you can do that on Spreaker. One, you can replace the file if you want. But why did I not want to replace the file? I wanted to put a new one. Oh, because anytime you put a new file up there, it sends an email out to all your followers that says, hey, there's new things going on at Spreaker, right? That kind of thing. So we weren't replacing, or we weren't just replacing the file on the wrapper. We were actually replacing the file. Well, those Spreaker numbers plummeted. And for whatever reason, that live piece was important. So I made the decision this week to go back to both. So when we go live, we're going live both on Spreaker and on Mixler. Why not? Doesn't hurt anybody. Doesn't create anything new or different that's going to mean anything for me. It's numbers that I'm missing that I'm now getting. And we still use the Mixler player. That seems for us at Gallup, that seems to make sense, is to have the Mixler player on our live page. So that's going to be the live page one. Spreaker will be transparent, but we have more followers on Spreaker than we do on Mixler. So I'm going to just run that so that those followers get the note that say, hey, you know, Call the Coach or Theme Thursday or whatever we're doing there is live now. And Dave, I think that feature is dynamite. That's the one thing that Spreaker does really, really well. Mixler does the same thing. We don't have as many. There's not a good compelling reason to follow somebody on Mixler. Live only.
Yeah, that's
right.
It.
It's just live for the most part. It's live only. So we're making the decision to go live with both. Both work really well together. I have not had any issues with running them both on the same PC at the same time. We at Gallup separate the audio. I have a separate audio broadcast server that I use that listens for the audio and broadcasts it out. So I move that off of my main PC. So I'm not having one PC taking all the bandwidth all at once type deal. But so we're making that change. I'll report back in a couple weeks when we get some numbers on that. But yeah, it was really apparent in our stats. You can see as soon as I stop doing the live broadcast, they just fall off.
Wow.
I wasn't going to tolerate that at all.
Yeah. And speaking of Spreaker, couple things. You know, if there was I was talking with some folks about maybe doing an end of show like podcast predictions for 2015, or if there was there are the podcast awards. If there was an award for most improved,
exactly,
it's got to be Spreaker, because every time you turn around, like, I don't use an Android device, but they came out, like, they have a picture. I'll put a link in the and everything we talk about today, you can find at askthepodcastcoach.com/52. And you can now use Spreaker on an Android device, and they show a picture there of it on a tablet. And then, they just keep adding new stuff to the platform. And every time you turn around, it's like, I got a comment on the School of Podcasting blog, because I had an old post that said doing the Spreaker RSS import is bad because they tweak your ID3 tags and this and that. And Francesco from Spreaker said, not anymore, we don't, unless you're if you're at 128, I don't think they mess with it. If so, they actually upgrade. Like if you're at 64 mono, they'll upgrade to that. And then
two things I noticed on Spreaker this week too. Mm-hmm. Publish later is now in there. So that didn't exist before. It's like, hey, if you create it, as soon as you hit publish, man, it was out there, right? Yeah. You couldn't save it for later. So now you can time your publishing, which is awesome. A lot of guys like to do that. So, and gals like to do that. And then a brand new feature called ad campaigns, which you can now buy, and they'll for money, they'll put you on their front page, I'm assuming at this point. And you can buy these campaigns that will put you on the front of people's pages. I didn't try it. It's the Facebook model. It starts at $1, and you can set the maximum you want to pay per day for the campaign of that show. I was going to try it right away, and then it was late and I was tired, and I just said, maybe I'll do it with my next Home Gadget Geeks. But yeah, brand new, just showed up, boom, without very much fanfare. So they could do a better job of advertising some of these new features that are coming out too, because I don't hear about them.
Yeah, I don't know what email list I'm on, but I got notified of that. And I also got notified, they came out, I'll put a link to this out in the chat room, they did a survey, I guess, or they went through, because when you sign up for a Spreaker, you're supposed to put in your profile info. And it was this big infographic. And it was kind of interesting. It said the average session duration live is 38 minutes. On demand is 20. That's an interesting head scratcher. The average time spent listening overall per session is 25 minutes. So there's that magical 20 to 30 minute number again. Total listening time And I don't understand the graphic. Because they have orange and there's no... Okay, live is 34%. I get it now. On demand is 66, which again is about right. I always tell people... no, I usually tell people 10% of your audience is...
I think 10 to 1 is kind of what everybody uses. I think that's getting... I think it depends on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then who is listening? I'm assuming these are all listener stats? These are all listeners. 60% are male. 40% now is female. The interesting thing on Spreaker, the biggest age group is 18 to 24. And I went, didn't expect that. Followed by 25 to 34, 3%, 55 and above. And so it'd be 18 to 24, 25 to 34 would be second, 13 to 17. Because Spreaker really is kind of like its own little Facebook kind of, interactive following people kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then time spent listening, mainly it says here it was USA, followed by Italy, Mexico, Spain, and the UK. That was streaming, so that'd be live on their site. People that are playing it, which is, so one is listening. I'm assuming that's live then, because it says plays streaming. One is listening streaming, and one is plays. So I'm guessing listening is live. Plays is, again, USA, Italy, Mexico, Spain, the UK. And pretty much these are almost all the same, except for downloads, where it goes USA, Spain, Canada, Mexico, and then Italy. So.
Interesting that some of those, Spanish language stuff is just getting huge in podcasting. And so in a lot of those countries, Spain, Mexico, that there's going to be more and more listeners that come from those. And so folks who are creating Spanish language content, it's exploding right now.
Yeah. And then, you talk about why you need good content. This is just on Spreaker. 80,000 hours of audio are produced every month.
It's a lot.
It would take almost 10 years to listen to it all. We have roughly 25,000 hosts. And with the main 60% English, 18% Italian, 16% Spanish, and then it gets into French, Russian, et cetera, et cetera.
And we're in the early days. I think those numbers will kind of level out based on population eventually when we get there. Be interesting to match those numbers up to population numbers by first language percentages and see how far off they are when we talk about that. Not a lot of Russian in there. Not a lot of Chinese.
No. And I so want to hear this. It says, did you know that one of our hosts was broadcasting live while getting arrested by the police? Oh. I want to hear that podcast.
Well, hey, let's think about too, between China and India, most of the world's population is there. I mean, a good chunk of it is there, and that we still have not broken into either one of those countries. When we talk about podcasting, it has just not taken off. And the person who solves the Chinese market is going to be who gets in there first and really goes, when that starts adopting in China, man, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
That'd be a big deal. Live versus download there for a second. Where people live than they do with on demand, right? That's what that it was like just 20 minutes for on demand. Is that, did I hear you say that right? And those, that first, the average.
Let's see.
While you're finding that was the very first number you said.
It said live average session is 38 minutes. On demand is 20.
So let me just say again, I think this is a good reason to go live in a lot of ways, because we're live right now and there's something about the thrill of listening to a live podcast that holds you longer than, I can just come back and listen to this later. And even though we live in a world of DVR where you could hit pause and come back and listen to it again, I just think there's still something about live that holds people's engagement a little bit better. So. Another reason to go live.
That's right. And speaking of going live, we're going live with another caller ending in 3706. What's your name and what's your question? You're on with Dave and Jim.
Now, I had a question, more of a technical equipment kind of setup question.
Okay.
I'm in between podcasts right now.
Okay.
My former podcast, I actually found it easier for me to do interviews with Skype, even if I knew the person and lived in the same city as them, because I just didn't have the setup that I needed. And so with the next one that I'm about to create, I would like to be able to just go to someone's, you know, go to Starbucks, wherever, sit down, have a conversation with them. And I was just wondering, is it just going to be an expensive mixer that I'm going to need, or what, you know, you might recommend and that sort of thing?
I'm sorry, I forgot to, I didn't get your name when you started.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Jason Norris, formerly of the Learning to Teach podcast at learningtoteach.info. But I'm starting a new thing called a digital ministry school, and it sort of integrates that one with a whole bunch more of things that I'm trying to take on at once. But yeah, so I just, you know, I've seen mixers, and I've seen, I don't want to expend too much money because I can't without knowing that this is really going to work for me.
Yeah, if you just want a mixer to plug two microphones in, two people sitting next to each other, you know, you can get by with a little Behringer mixer. I think it's the 802? Send me an email after we're off here, and I'll send you a link. But because really, the bigger the mixer, you either A, are recording, you know, more than two people at a time, or the mixer I'm using, the reason I use it is because I have so much plugged into it. I have an iPad, I have a phone, I have Jim plugged into it. And I needed a bunch of little bells and whistles. But if you just need a mixer to record two people, you know, you can get by with a little baby one.
I've used the Alesis Multimix 4 for that type of scenario, especially when you're going to be in a situation where it's loud. So pair that with two ATR 2100s and then get everybody up on their mics. The 2100s will do a nice job of eliminating a lot of the crowd noise. You're still going to get it. It's still going to happen. You can't avoid that altogether. But since they're dynamic mics, as opposed to some of the condenser mics that come on these handheld portable audio recording devices, they'll pick up everything. Dave, you and I know we've done those kinds of interviews before, and you can hear, you know, cricket fart outside. So you want to, with the Alesis, you and the 2100s, you'll just get a tighter field for your interviewers. And that, and you can't see the video, but that Multimix, that Alesis Multimix 4 is really small. I mean, it's the size of a book, and it has two XLR outputs to it, and it's got real, and then it's USB as well. So there's a lot, it gives you some flexibility, and that's the one I've used every live thing we do. That's the one I take with me, and it's worked out really, really well. Alesis Multimix 4. If you want to see a picture of it, it's on my gear page. You can go to theaverageguy.tv/gear.
Okay. Yeah, because I sometimes when I would look at the mixers that, you know, recommended before and things, I would look at the reviews, like on Amazon, and sometimes you would find, especially the smaller it was or the cheaper it was, there would be people saying, yeah, but there's a lot of background noise, not crowd noise, but just there's some noise introduced by the mixer or something.
Well, I've got some examples on the gear page there where I talk about my portable rig. I've got some examples of what it sounds like when I'm out in the, you know, I'm out doing that. So you can listen to it. If it's good enough for you, then there you go. There's a perfect example of what it's going to sound like. Totally by the way, the video that I did out there, totally unprocessed. It's a straight Google Hangout. I did nothing to the audio. It's exactly as you hear it. So if you want to get a good idea, at least what the one I bought sounds like, you can hear it right there on the YouTube video.
And that, again, can go back to let's say you were recording into a portable recorder. If I have the portable recorder input turned way, way down, well, then I've got to turn the mixer way, way up to get the volume to go up. And in the process, I'm going to introduce hiss in some cases. If I have things really just flat out as loud as they can go, where if you turned up the recorder, so the recorder was listening really hard, well, now you don't have to turn the mixer up so much. Thus, you get less hiss, because really turning up a portable recorder doesn't introduce a whole lot of hiss. So I found that little trick sometimes to do that. So the same thing with if you're recording into a computer, you know, turn your input up on that. And that, again, there's no one size fits all. Like my Dell computer, the sound card that came with this thing is just caca poo. I've never run into a bad sound card, but this one for recording just introduces noises and crackles and hums. And I never, that's why I bought a Griffin iMic. It's this little USB interface that I use now to, if I'm doing anything for, well, even now going into the Google Hangout, I'm going through a Griffin iMic. So,
but Jason, when you're doing live and you've got microphones, think of the gain on those things like a bubble around the microphone. The more you turn up the bubble, the more you turn up the gain, the bigger the bubble gets. And so with live, if you can turn that gain down and get your guests right up on the microphone. Now, that's a little weird when you're doing that kind of on video because everybody's, sucking down the microphone to get it done. But it will give you really good audio for a live setting. So if you can get the gain turned down and your guests right on the microphone, they'll feel really, really weird. I've seen Bill Conrad do this in some of his videos where he takes the microphone and the arm and goes live. And that's another thing you can do to make it easier for your guest. If you've got one of these microphone arms, and you can take it out, you can really get that microphone close to the guest as opposed to just having it on a tripod sitting in front of them. Or, and Dave's showing us on the video here in a second, you can get a mechanical arm. You don't have to spend a lot for it. These arms now are $15 or $20 on Amazon. Dave's showing that in the video. Dave, if you want to clip that over to yours.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's actually made for a bass drum. And this thing on the bottom could take somebody out. I would love to know what this thing weighs. And what's cool is you just put it on your desk. And I wouldn't use this microphone. It's a condenser mic. But it's super easy to just position.
Yeah.
And because I hear there's a really cool podcast I listen to called Industry Standard, and I hear a lot of this.
They're
handling the microphone. They have sure, and I'm like, it's not the end of the world. It's not like, oh, I'm going to quit listening because they're handling the mic. But I'm like, really? Come on, spend the $20, get a little desktop stand, and you're good to go.
I get this on my Gallup podcast all the time because we ship the mics, but we use the tripods that come with them. Remind me to talk about the 2005s, yeah. Dave, by the way, before the end of the show. But
okay.
I had a guest that had a pen in their hand. And they kept setting their hand down on the desk and it would click. And because that microphone was sitting on the table, it picked up all that sound. And I had to, in the middle of the podcast, I had to say, hey, could you stop doing that? Because I'm hearing everything. And you embarrass you embarrass them. And it's just so getting the arm, if you're going to go live. And I think that'll be my next step for live. When I go out and do these live podcasts, like I do twice a year, is to take some inexpensive arms with me. Jason, you can get those on Amazon literally now. They've got them for $15. They're not great, right? But you're not buying for quality. You're buying them for function. And then, you may get a season or two out of them and then you're just going to replace them. If you want the good ones, you're going to go with a Rode or you're going to go with a Heil. Those are $100 each. With the Heil, you can hide the cable inside it. They got all kinds of fancy stuff. But that would be my recommendation on that. With the mixer, getting that gain turned all the way down. But again, you got to test when you get into this and do it that way.
That's it.
Yeah.
It really does take – I've been using mixers forever. And when I got this new one, that was the first – I'd put on headphones, hit record, and just started tweaking knobs because it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Well, hey, I really appreciate that. That's some good advice.
No problem. And let us know what's the new podcast going to be.
Well, it will be from the digitalministryschool.com, but I haven't thought of a good name yet.
There you go. Well, that's a good thing. Although Digital Ministry School is kind of a cool name, it makes me think it's, a place to learn how to use digital stuff in a ministry kind of thing. So depending on if that's what the podcast is about, I like that name. But it's a good thing. Yeah, I see people that set deadlines for themselves. They're like, it has to be out by November 30th. And I'm like, or what? The world comes to an end. So there's a good, I understand the pros of having a deadline is it does kind of give you that sense of urgency. But man, I've seen a lot of people make a really just dumb decisions because it has to get out. So I like the fact you're like, no, I'm going to take some time. When you go to pick your name, check for domain names. I'm redesigning the School of Podcasting's back end, and there's a tutorial on, don't use bad names. And I found this hilarious picture. There's some business somewhere, and the name of the business is Kids Exchange. Kids exchange. Now, when you put that all together, it looks like kid sex change. And I'm like, that's a bad name. That's not going to work well. And I was laughing. So that's the picture. You know, you have to think about these things. What does it sound like? What does it, you know, what does it spell like? If that's even the right verbiage. And then the other thing, does it roll off the tongue? I've said that before, where for a while my podcast consulting was podcast fast pass. And I had to over enunciate it every time I said it because people are like, what? So take your time on that. Don't take forever, but, you know, check to make sure the domain name's available, things like that. And I always say when you go to somebody and go, and the name of my podcast is blank, and they tell you what the show is about, then you're on the right track. So good luck with that.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks for calling in, Jason.
Yep.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
You too.
All right. Take care. Man, some great callers today.
Yeah. I'm like, this is fun.
That's some good quality conversation today. Good job, guys.
The other thing I thought I would mention, speaking of companies that are, and then we're going to talk about the 2005. Is somebody said I should take this job, and Blog Talk Radio, another company that's, you know, I did talk to Andy. They have not, they're still working on their beta thing that they want me to test. And it's kind of cool that they're like, we're not ready, but they're going to get it right. They've hired a new person that now you may or may not have heard of this name. It's Jay Soderberg, I believe is how you pronounce it. He's a former leader of ESPN's podcasting division, and he's joined Blog Talk Radio Management and will take a leading role shaping the company's content portfolio as its new head of content. Now, you may have heard the name, and I'm looking for that. He's also been known as Pod Vader. He has 23 years of experience in the highest echelons of radio and podcast production. He launched and ran ESPN's podcasting efforts for 8 years, and his radio journey began at NPR and Christian Science Monitor Radio, where he developed his expertise with the best-in-class process. So it's interesting. They got, guy working on – it's going to be interesting to see. Like, does he come in and tell you how to shape your content? I don't know. But so again, more things changing in these different places.
And, yeah, Blog Talk Radio is making a run at it. I mean, it sounds like they're listening. I check in with them every once a month or every other month just to kind of see what's changed over there. And I'll load a file in just to kind of see how it sounds and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's one of the things, one of the hazards of doing this job with you is I feel like now I have to be on or know of every platform that is possible to use with podcasting. And so I've been dropping my podcast out on them. And I know you do this too. You kind of taught me this. Been dropping them out there just so I can stay up to date with what they're doing. So that way I have to check them at least once a week or every other week based on the podcast. And that's been helpful, yeah. You know, to know what's going on.
So, we talk a lot about the Audio-Technica 2100. It's a great microphone that we recommend. And it does have, depending on how you look at it, a smaller or bigger brother. It's the Audio-Technica 2005, and usually it used to be always more expensive. The only difference between it is it's black and has a cooler on-off button, and it comes in a black little, you know, silver leather case. But other than that, it's nothing a whole lot different. And so, Jim, you got some news about that.
Yeah, well, this week I needed to buy 5 new microphones. I talk about this all the time for Gallup. I ship them all over the world. I've been seating them in our various offices. So we have offices in Singapore and Australia, China and the UK and Germany and all around the United States. So I've been seeding these. And so I buy a bunch. And then as we do podcasts, I ship them out and I say, just keep them, right? Just keep them there. They're $50, right? Just keep them in the office. We'll use them again. And so I've got them all over the place. Well, went online. They were $67 or $69, the ATR 2100s. And I'm like, oh, I wonder about the 2005. So I pop over there, $49.95.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I'm in. So I picked up 5 of them, had them shipped in. I did not know about the handy little leather case. Uh-huh. And in our situation, we ship those all over the world. And right now we take the ATR, the 2100, we wrap it in bubble wrap. You know, I attach that tripod that comes with it. I fold it up like that. So it makes a nice little, by the way, they travel very, very nicely as well. Mm-hmm. And we take the cord, I wrap that up and then I slide it on. So it's all one unit. I wrap it in bubble wrap and tape it up. We'll still use bubble wrap for it, but that carrying case that's a nice touch. And so if you are thinking about, or you're hauling these things around or you're doing portable podcasting or some of those kinds of things, and you're going to buy a mic, I recommend now the 2005 for that purpose. They're exactly the same microphone.
Right.
Like you said, this one's black, the other one's silver. The on-off button's a little cooler on the 2005. It's flat as opposed to, you know, sticking out that way. And when you take a black windscreen and put it on the top, it looks good.
Yeah.
So one of those things, that case that came with it, it was a surprise. I'm like, oh, this is going to be perfect for what we're doing as we ship these all around the country. So now I took the number. We number our mics. So they come in, I get a black Sharpie, I put a number on it so we can keep track of, because we ship them all over the country. So it's like, you know, which number. And on this case, with the case that came with it, I took a gray Sharpie in this case, and then I wrote the number on the outside of the case, so that the person who does all that for me would know what number to write down and check it out and those kinds of things. So that was pretty cool. I was like, I think I'm doing 2005s from here on out. This is the weird thing. They fluctuate in price.
Yeah, they do.
It's like freaking gold.
Does it have the blinding blue light on the top of it as well?
Oh, you know, I didn't look for that. I'll have to take a peek.
I mean, I don't mind mine, but it's hilarious. There are times when I'll turn off the lights in the office, and I'm like, there's this cool glow over my desk. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's the HR. The 2100 still plugged in.
It's just like the light in the room is on. I have to have the guests turn that over because you can see it in the camera. It turns them all blue.
It's like Rudolph, turn that down.
An interesting thing too, we had a situation in our China and our Beijing office where they wanted a mic, and we were going to just try and ship it direct. And it was like 6 or 7 days to get that into the office in China. I thought they're probably made there. One of the things I've been looking for as an alternative is that Samsung Q2U that Joe Taylor mentioned in the chat room. That has sometimes been available in markets where the ATR 2100 is not.
Yep.
That would be an equivalent microphone. So I see we have a caller.
We do have a caller ending in 7825. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
This is Michael Ray, and I
sent
you guys an email. How's it going?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm not bad. I'm sitting in a truck getting a flat fixed.
That's a good way to start the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been one of those. But last week we had talked about doing Skype with my iPad, and I sent you a link to that iStudio thing from Behringer.
Mm-hmm.
That you slide. Is that still possible to do Skype with that? Because we were talking about last week about how to do some plus and minus and all that.
So I'm sorry. What did you say? You said you had a Behringer what?
I got a Behringer iStudio that you slide an iPad into.
Okay.
And I sent you you and Jim a link last night once I got all my email stuff straightened out. And it has XLR inputs into it. It has an audio input into it, MIDI and stuff like that. And you kind of slide your iPad Generation 2 into it. And I was wondering how I can maybe use Skype with that. Because what I'm thinking is I got that board that Jim's got, and that's going to be the home thing. But this is going to be something that's kind of mobile. Because every time first idea was from Ray Ortega and using the little adapter and USB 2100 network pretty good, but the iPad wasn't getting charged at the same time, and this charges the iPad at the same time, and I can also run this off of batteries in a mobile situation.
All right, I'm trying to pull it up because, to be honest with you,
Michael, that's a great question. Yeah, and I haven't. That's kind of a use case. That's a fairly fringe use case where I would have to really have an iPad and, you know, the equipment to see how that works.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna try to make it work.
You're here in Omaha, right, Michael? How often are you here in Omaha? I mean, you're in my backyard.
No, I live here. Yeah.
Yeah. How often are you? I know you're a truck driver. How often are you in town?
Well, I leave Wednesday, Thursday, come back Friday. I leave Saturday, Sunday, come back, and I'm Monday, Tuesday home. So I'm home basically Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. What I do is the mail route runs every other day. So, and that's what I do. So,
okay. Yeah.
But now, and, talk and the Mike. Reason why, when I sent you an email, go ahead. Go there.
He's a podcaster here in Omaha as well. He said you'd called in last week, and he's like, "Hey, we should get Michael to, you know, because we're doing some meetups here in town, and we should get you added to our meetup list." And you know, from this standpoint, if I can meet up with you and you got the equipment, or if you want to talk to me offline and we get some more time, that's a fairly complex setup you have going on. I'm just afraid we're not going to give you very good advice in a few minutes on a phone call, so that might be something we want to dialogue about just offline.
Right. Yeah, and the thing about it is that's something I'm looking at in the future, so I can use it. What I like about it is I can use boss when I do something, I try to do it for a multiple purpose. So the Boss Jock Studio with the iPad and the Behringer thing, my daughter can use it when I'm not there, you know, or I can use it when I'm on the road or something. And then the home setup, you know, with the board and all that stuff, could be more complex and easier. You know, once it's set up, you know. But on my website, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get like I was saying last week, like kind of like a Yahoo or whatever, where you get kind of like people who need like a job or something, and somebody has some job experience someplace else, kind of like what you do in the podcasting community, and everybody kind of comes together right there.
He's still here. Oh. It's my computer at the moment is freaking out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get it to where I could get kind of like get everybody come together, kind of like what you do with the podcasting community. I don't know how to take that podcasting into to a blog site, but I see how you guys kind of do it with just like buttons, you know? So.
Yeah, there are certain plugins for WordPress that would allow you to make – I've seen them for like job posting plugins that you could have – you know, click here to, you know, we could use it. We're having technical problems here. It's interesting.
That's fine.
I can hear you fine, but everybody's like, yeah, it's interesting. The phone's working great,
yeah.
But all right. I got to let the chat know.
But now you talked to me last week about, you said, if I can use Microsoft Word, I can do my website. I've had this thing up. I've had that thing bought for a long time. I finally sat down and started working with it. I actually got it looking pretty good now. I mean, per se, you know. I mean, at least it's got something on there. I got a donate button. I got SpeakPipe hooked to it. I got a couple pages kind of hooked to it, you know. And it was like, man, that's pretty cool. I like that. Just from 1 week, you know, that fellow that called in earlier, talking about him being a real newbie, well, I am too, you know.
And we all start someplace.
You know, with the community thing.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's like I tell, and part of this the prior flyer thing is there's a kid somewhere who's in school, in college or something, and he likes podcasts. Well, he can get on there and say, hey, anybody know about this type of job here? And then, okay, here's this podcast here. It talks about this. Well, when I get that, what happens? Well, here's a podcast here. You can go talk or listen about that. I knew a kid. I worked up in North Dakota in oil fields for like a year. I knew a kid that went to college. So in the summer when he was off, he went up there for 3 months, made him about $35,000, come back. He didn't have to work at McDonald's, and he could take all winter long to do what he wanted to do, and all of his bills were paid. You know, so a college kid might say, well, hey, you know, I might want to do that too, you know? And just that's the kind of thing I'm trying to do and tie it to podcasting, you know, and that way, because some people like me, I can get on and read a blog or something, but it's nice to hear a podcast when I'm going down the road, and somebody else that knows, like you know about the school stuff, Jim knows about server stuff, you know, and other people know about other things, and then that way it kind of, so I guess if the main page, if it links to somebody else's podcast, and it doesn't really, I don't have to worry about the server speed and all that stuff, because it's basically going to be pointed to theirs, correct?
More or less. So
yeah. Okay. More or less. Okay.
It's,
all right.
I've somehow I'm laughing because the chat room's like, where did everybody go? And, I have somehow muted myself and, I can't bring myself back live.
I wanted to, make mention to that fellow that called the last time he was talking about his audio was too low and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when I listen to my audio, I don't actually like the sound of my voice per se.
Oh, we all do.
But, yeah, I think that's kind of like, I think you had mentioned that before, that not everybody likes their voice, you know.
Yeah,
but
there's actually, you know, there's some physical things going on there. The way your jaw vibrates actually kind of goes into how your voice sounds. And it's interesting that, you know, when you finally then hear your voice, you hate it. You're like, what the heck? So,
yeah, I sound just like my dad.
The thing that's really scary on video, I'm starting to really look like my dad. That's the part that's getting really weird.
Oh, I know I look like my dad. You know, life's good. I'm not on a milk carton, so that's kind of a plus, you know. So, but I really appreciate the encouragement on that website, because I've had that thing for a long time and never did anything to it. And I finally said, you know what, he's right. And I just jumped into that thing. And, you know, I got a donate button on there, and I know a donate button works because I donated $1 to myself with a different credit card. That's like, so I know it works.
There you go.
So, but I really appreciate that. Yeah, I enjoy your show. I really do. So,
well thank you so
Jim,
much.
If you can't hear me, tell him I said hi, and we'll talk later on. So,
all right, we'll do.
We'll see you later. Thanks.
Thank you.
You bet.
Well, it's been a fun show. We had some minor technical glitches. We'll start the music here and kill 2 minutes. Great show today, though.
It was fun.
You know, we had all sorts of people calling in, which is always fun. Great questions, which makes it even more fun. And aside from, you know, Google Hangout, my computer completely blowing up at the end, it was a perfect show.
And that's good. It was good anyways, and nobody will know when you edit this down.
That's right.
It is the joys of live podcasting, and I still say do it.
Yeah.
You know,
and Michael Ray said he'll probably contact you after
perfect.
The show.
I got his email.
Yeah.
I've got his
email. And you guys can do your own little Omaha thing there. And that'll be cool. And because it sounds like I'm going to look I know what he's talking about. There are these little things. I thought they're more for musicians where you can plug your iPad in into like a mixer, and then you can use like GarageBand to do recording and multi-tracking and all things like that. But you could use it for a podcast as well. And I was like, so that's one of the things I'm going to be looking into. I'm like, I've heard of those. I've never really seen one. So that'll be a new toy to play with. So, Jim, where can people find you?
All out at theaverageguy.tv.
There you go. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 to save $20 off your first month of the schoolofpodcasting.com. And if you're on the East Coast, stay warm. If you're in Australia, wear sunblock. And we'll see you next week with another fun-filled, hopefully smooth episode of Ask the Podcast Coach. Take care, everybody.